Welcome to another episode of Not Your K Podcast. I am your host, Hannah, and today we've got a very special episode planned. Let's go. First things first, how is everyone doing? So I know it's been about a month since I last recorded, and things have been pretty hectic at my real job. So I decided that since I took such a long hiatus, that this 10th episode is going to be the final episode, just because I want to have a longer discussion, as well as I have a month's worth of songs to go over today. And for the first time ever on Not Your K Podcast history, I have a guest here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, what's going on? My name is Darren.
Today's topic, I've been putting out talking about it for a while, but since today is the season finale, we are going to talk about Black culture as a part of K-pop. Now, I feel like this is a particular topic that a lot of fans tend to stay away from just because it does send people like the wrong way. There are even a lot of Black K-pop fans that don't like bringing it up. It's like one of those things that we keep in the back of our head but never really discuss on a regular. Now, I'm personally Black. Darren here is not, but he is a person of color. Maybe he is able to sort of relate to today's discussion. And I wanted to make it a open discussion rather than one-sided like it usually is. Like, I feel like on this podcast, since it's just me, it's hard for other viewpoints to be seen. And I know in another episode also, I spoke about how there is a very specific type of person that can become a K-pop idol, and I just wanted to clear some things up with that as well, just from my experiences in being a K-pop fan for 12 years, just seeing anyway, we'll get into it. So diving right into it, what do you know, Darren, about Darren doesn't know anything about K-pop really.
I know there's a band called EXO. BTS has gone crazy popular. Who else from those? Like, I don't really care. I mean, there's G-Dragon, things like that I've heard of, but yeah, that's about all that I could call off the top of my head. So I don't know as much as you do, for sure, but those are the things that I've heard of, and I've got enough familiarity where I've heard of K-pop, and you know, it's getting very popular now in the U.S., especially with the younger audience, teens and whatnot, with BTS. So they've got a bigger reach than, say, 2000s. In the 2000s, nobody knew. At least, I've never even heard of K-pop until, like, I hit the 2014 area, 2013. That's when I started, you know, recognizing it as a popular genre, but it didn't really hit the U.S. until not too long ago, like maybe last year, 2 years ago, or whatever.
But I don't know. I think more around like Gangnam Style area.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, Gangnam Style.
That was the peak of K-pop before BTS. Mm-hmm. So, my guest's knowledge of K-pop is extremely limited. But that's okay, because, you know, so I have a question for you. What is something, I'm trying to allude to our topic, but what is something that I guess you see a lot of in K-pop in regards to, like, Black culture or African-American culture?
It sounds, it's unique, but at the same time, it sounds a lot like hip-hop and R&B in America. And I know they get everything from there. And just to start off with, yes, so I am a person of color. I am a Pacific Islander. I've grown up in the United States, and I feel like I've got a bit of a neutral view versus the I guess not being Asian, but also not being black at the same time. So also growing up in America, so not really specifically, I'm Micronesian, Pacific Islander.
You're giving away a lot of
And
information, huh?
oh yeah,
It's
oh yeah,
fine.
well, you know, just to be a little honest and open. But yeah, so my opinion of K-pop is definitely they pull a lot of their music and their influence from black culture in America, and it sounds very similar. And yeah, I mean, you could even say it's to a certain extent cultural appropriation. So yeah, that's my opinion on that. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing to pull from other people. People have been doing it forever, but at the same time, when you pull from a certain group and then don't want to have anything to do with that group, say like in your music, I don't see a lot of black artists in K-pop. I mean, I've seen more and more now of artists from America working with K-pop stars, which is that could be a good start. You know, and referring to your last episode, saying that, I mean, I know you cleared it up, but it's sad to say that there can't be a black K-pop star, at least right now, or in the makings. You know, that'd be something hopeful because that's where they get their influence from. I mean, that's why wouldn't there be any? And I guess you could say because there's not a lot of black people in Korea. But at the same time, with that knowledge, still the influence from K-pop comes from the African American culture, black culture, and they should definitely, if not, I'm not saying they should go and just straight up recruit a whole bunch of black people. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is it'd be good to see some diversity. I think diversity anywhere is an amazing thing to see. And it makes things
So there's
I don't
been
know.
like black K-pop idols, I guess you would say, that have
Oh.
tried to break into.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
I
like
don't know
there
that.
was her name was Lee Michelle. She was half black, half Korean. I don't think she really spent much time in the US. And then there was a girl from Rania, her name was Alex, and she came into the group like towards the end of their like rain, I guess. So and she didn't really like it didn't seem like when they debuted with her that they really clicked with her. It sort of made it seem like she wasn't part of the group. It was more so she was just there for like something like a token, I guess. So whenever she came out to rap, and that was it. She didn't dance with the other girls or anything. So I think now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it, it's like, why didn't I realize earlier? That was really weird to think about it. It was nice to see that there was a black female who actually made it into a K-pop group, and like, it was nice to see that in particular. But now thinking back, it was she seemed sort of like ostracized by her other group members, and it might have been just like a company thing. Like, it seemed like she hadn't received a lot of training. She could like dance and sing and rap or whatever, but they didn't really integrate her into the group that well. Okay, so I'm gonna jump into some facts or some notes that I took that we can talk about if you want. So According to World Atlas, as of August 2019, ethnic Koreans make up 96% of the population in Korea, which is a big no-brainer. Obviously, the majority of the South Korean population is Korean. So that means that most locals are unlikely to come across anyone from a different country. Now, I went to China in 2015, I think, and I was like smack dab in the middle. So it was like a landlocked area, and it was my first time out of the United States. And I get there, and what I thought was crazy is that like none of these people had seen a black person before. And thinking back, obviously, you know, most of the Chinese, like most of the people who live in China are obviously Chinese. You're not going to come across a lot of people from different ethnic backgrounds or different countries. So it made sense to me that, no, it didn't make sense to me then, but it makes sense to me now that they would marvel at the idea of seeing another black person. But also at the same time, a lot of Chinese people are scared of black people. Like, for instance, I was the main like translator, not even scared, just like weary, or they don't have like a lot of knowledge. Like most Chinese people in China only see black people on TV, so that's where they get their information from, which is most like people who like K-dramas. Like, you don't get a lot of the information from real life experiences, you get it from your K-dramas. So a lot of people think life is like K-dramas in Korea. But anyway, what was I saying about okay, yeah, most people don't know what to expect, or they just assume that black people in real life act like the people that they see on TV. So I, at the time when I was in China, I was like one of the main translators for my group. Not a lot of the other people could speak Chinese as well as I could, so I was like one of the people that sort of helped figure out what was going on. So we actually had like two other girls in our group who were actually Chinese, but who had been adopted into the United States by families. And so I would be walking around with them, and like, of course, the Chinese person's going to lean towards whoever looks the most like them and assuming that they speak Chinese. But whenever I was there to sort of correct them in that instance, it was, they became like scared to speak to me, and as if like, I don't know, I wasn't supposed to be speaking Chinese. Also, another thing, like, there's Chinese music that mimics a lot of American hip hop as well, so to listen, in my opinion, to music that resembles African-American style music and not know where it comes from or not appreciate the actual culture it comes from is, in my opinion, a form of cultural appropriation. Would you agree? Like, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think that's right. I don't think that is okay. Yeah, I'd say I agree.
Okay. So Korea is also one of those countries that hasn't really experienced a multicultural or multi-ethnic history up until recently. But this raises the question of how come South Korean society is so increasingly influenced by African-American culture, from looks to sound. Like dreadlocks, Afro-styled hair, several celebrities have also been like seen using blackface. Racial slurs have been used by celebrities, and Koreans feel it doesn't really, I'm not gonna say that all Koreans don't know, but like generally speaking, I feel like also this is the same for China, but they don't know like what kind of negative connotation some of these things have. And it also raises a question. Are these cultures fetishizing black culture? But yeah, given the recent events that have been going on, like, this has been on my mind lately a lot more than ever. And I feel like when I was younger, this is something that I would never have had an open discussion about, just simply because when I was a kid, I'd like to deflect or sort of not acknowledge the injustices in the world. But I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to accuse all Asian people of these things. I'm just saying that there's obviously a love and an appreciation for hip hop and hip hop culture, but there is no, like, where's the acknowledgement or appreciation for the people who created it?
Well, we said that, you know, it'd be good if it was more inclusive. And like I said, the diversity is good everywhere. Diversity is a great thing to have. And I think the fact that they are 90%, 96% Korean in South Korea is actually, you know, I would say it's a disadvantage, because they don't really, all the influence that they have from black culture or other cultures is just what they see on TV, which is a lot like a lot of the world, or Asians, and well, Asian countries like China, right? It's not as diverse, or it's a culture that's more secluded than other cultures in the world. I mean, America, I mean, it's, yes, we are going through a whole bunch of things. One thing, though, that I think is great about America is its diversity in some places, you know, New York or California or Florida, and a lot of these places, the diversity is amazing. And just the fact that I've been able to meet a whole bunch of people, different ethnicities, has added a lot of color to my life, and it's an amazing thing to have. And that's what a lot of people are missing out on, and it's what causes fear, it's what causes misunderstandings. And when you look at it, I mean, 96%, that's a big number. It's, to me, I think that's a disadvantage for them and the progress that they have. Yeah, I get that I said that already, but the progress, the hopes of them having progress in the future, you know, well, they're going to have more interaction. They're going to have more.
Yeah, and I saw this post on Facebook, right? It was like, so I'm on this Facebook group of, like, black K-pop fans, right? Mm-hmm. I think somebody said that they think that K-pop, like, companies and entertainment companies would benefit from having a person of color on their, like, public affairs team or on their HR, just so that companies themselves would be able to understand more, like, their international audience, because I don't know, K-pop's becoming popular enough for them to acknowledge the fact that their fans aren't just Asian. It's okay to speak out for their black fans or other people of color besides Asians, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they really want to do something with their, you know, their brand and their outreach, I think being more inclusive to more than just the usual fangirls, reaching out to other cultures, that's going to be a part of it, is for even the K-pop artists to recognize the, like you just said, the different fans, the different ethnicities of, you know, or different cultures of fans that appreciate them. And that definitely would go a big way, say if a big name or even big names like G-Dragon or whatever, they would start, you know, giving acknowledgement to those fans. That, like you just said, that'd be a big thing. That'd be a great step forward.
Yeah, you know? It'd be worth the investment. I'm just saying, SM Entertainment, if you want somebody to help you with your public affairs to your other fan bases, I can help you. I'm here for you. Okay, well, thanks, Darren, for sharing your 5 cents on black culture as a part of K-pop. I hope you come back sometime. The reason I'm laughing is because this is my husband, and, like, obviously he has to come back.
Whoa. I am not your husband. I'm your friend. Whatever. No, again, thank you, Hyena, for inviting me over here, professional friend and colleague. I appreciate all that you do and your time with me today.
All right, so some albums that I bought recently, as well as, you know, these past month comebacks and debuts. So the newest albums that I bought were Neozone, The Final Round, The Repackage, Reload, NCT Dream, Twice Is More and More. Now, I have a little bit of a backstory with this. So I used to really hate on Twice for, like, the longest time. Like, I was not a huge fan, or I tried not to be a huge fan. Literally every song that they ever came out with, I loved. I was always stuck in my head, and I would always try and learn the dance. And so this time with this comeback, I finally gave in and I bought Twice's More and More album with hopes that I would like the song as much as I had liked all of the other ones. And I'll get into that later with the rest of the debuts and comebacks. And then I bought Only One Of's Produced By album, Part 1. And Tomorrow By Together, Dream Chapter Eternity. This is my... So, Only One Of, Tomorrow By Together, and NCT Dream, and Twice. Those four were the first albums that I ever bought from those artists. And also, if you're interested in seeing some... you know, aesthetically pleasing photographs of these albums, then please go and check out my Instagram at NotYourKPodcast. And you can let me know if I'm sort of headed in the right direction. You know, at first I started my Instagram as a way to promote the podcast, but I ended up finding, like, a lot of other collectors' accounts and making some friends, I guess, through K-pop, and I started doing more collecting of actual albums. But okay, so I wouldn't say that I'm like a hardcore collector, because I don't look for every edition of an album. I just buy albums that I like. So if you are interested in, you know, seeing what kind of music I like, as well as me taking some pretty hardcore pictures of CDs and photo cards and whatnot, and maybe even hosting a giveaway in the near future or the late future, I don't know, we'll see. But I might be hosting a giveaway in the future. So at Not Your K Podcast on Instagram, all one word, on Facebook, and at Not Your K Podcast on Twitter as well. So I've been watching some of those survival shows, particularly Niji Project. And that's JYP's survival show with the girl group that we'll be promoting with Sony Japan as well as JYP. And I got really invested in this show. Every week I was looking for a new episode, and it recently ended this past Friday, I think. Yeah. In Japan. Friday in Japan. Which is like Thursday here. But I was super excited to see the girls that won, and I'm super happy with... I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you look literally all over the internet, you can already see who's part of the group, which is ridiculous because the official channel for the show has been slowly releasing episodes in English, in any other language for that matter, and they're already releasing articles. This is just rude, okay? But thank goodness I just went ahead and watched it without the subtitles. I don't speak Japanese that well, but I speak it well enough to know what was going on. And I was super excited for the girls that actually got to debut and are going to debut in the group. There was one girl that I'm really sad she didn't join, but yeah. It's really sad that she didn't get to debut with them. I'm really upset about it. But we'll see her in the future, I'm sure, because she is still young and she needs to take care of her health. And just know that I'll be rooting her on in the future. Akari. Okay, anyway. So this month's debuts and comebacks, it was a lot. So Victon came back with Mayday, Twice More and More. I think Victon's Mayday was a pre-release. Moonbyul came back with a repackage. Bangyedan was a pre-debut single. Whale or Why? Gidongdae. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if it was a debut or a comeback. And I didn't want to do the research because I don't know who they are, and I did not really like the song that much, so I wasn't really gonna talk about it. I was just gonna list off everybody who came back or debuted this month. I'm gonna list off who I'm gonna actually talk about because there's like, I don't know how many, but there's like 15 or 20 different artists that came back. And so, okay, so Gidongdae, Seo In-kwang, and I think he was a member of B2B, Ha Seong-eun, Ujusonyo, ELAS, DIA, Nature, Stray Kids, Momoland. I don't think Momoland is promoting this comeback. It was just like, somebody said it was like a gift to fans. That's the best way to describe it. ELO, IZ*ONE, About, WikiMiki, DICE, Seventeen, Golden Child, Blackpink, and SunMi. Now, SunMi's song doesn't come out until the 29th. I did want to mention it though, because I mean, even if it's the 27th and I really won't be able to review the song, that was one of the comebacks that I was most looking forward to. And obviously, I'm not going to go through every comeback and debut because that would just be way too much. And if you hear any music in the background, it's literally just the playlist I created for the sake of this episode. That you can also check out on iTunes. I'm working on the Spotify ones. I'm just super lazy, but it's coming. So, first things first, Victon. I always want to say Viction, but Fiction. Victon. Yeah. So, I hadn't really paid that much attention to this group initially, but the song struck me in the heart. No, not in the heart, but like, I don't know, it got me hype. I was ready to, I don't know. I was ready to fly to Korea for this song. Mayday is a good song. If anybody has any recommendations of songs to listen by them, I'm really open to it. Their last, I think, mini album, I want to say, I saved to my playlist, but I haven't had the chance to listen to the whole thing. Because, you know, sometimes you're playing a playlist and, like, you just want to hear the songs that you know. Because you want to sing in the car as loud as possible, or I don't know. I'm always when I hear music, I'm always trying to sing along with it. Because I don't know, I'm trying to be an idol too. I know I'm too old, but I'm trying to be an idol too. Okay, so next comeback was Twice with their album More and More. So like I said, Twice was a group that I did not outwardly appreciate. In my heart and my mind, maybe not even my mind, but my heart knew that I loved this group. And just recently, I purchased More and More. That was sort of me like putting up my white flag. They're so fun to watch, and all of your songs are so good. Now, I don't want to. Okay, so I don't like all of the members. Honestly, there's just one member that I don't like, but given that idols are not just supposed to be good at singing, dancing, and and like have a good personality. I accept her. So like if you know what I'm talking about is Momo. If you don't know who I'm talking about is Momo. I'm not a huge fan of her voice. She is a great dancer. When I looked at clips of her on 16, she could like her voice wasn't even I don't feel like it was even as bad as it is right now, and I need someone to explain to me why JYP is forcing her to sound like something that she's not. It's super frustrating. And but she's fun to watch. Like, I can't even deny that she's fun to watch, but she's not my I hate to say this because like I hate to say this because I remember having like a super in-depth debate with someone on Reddit about how like it's annoying for people to say that they have a least favorite member, but it's fine. It really is fine. That's your business, okay? My least favorite member is Momo. Like, I don't think she adds anything to songs besides like she should rap. She should not sing. I don't want to hear her voice, honestly. And then, okay, so Bang Yedam, who is going to be a part of YG's newest group, Treasure, yeah, came out with the song Whale, which was the pre-debut release. And I gotta say, it was super. Okay, what else can you say about Bang Yedam? Honestly, like, it's one of. He's from K-Pop Star, and I watched him from the beginning, and I'm so happy to see that he's finally debuting. Like, YG is actually doing something right. People complain about SM not doing anything right, but YG waited over a year to have Blackpink come back. They don't pay attention to what their members of their other groups are doing that great, in my opinion. But Treasure debuting, I hope, like, I really hope that it gives YG a chance to redeem themselves, I guess. Because it would be sad. I know a lot of these kids are super young, so it would be super sad if we had to see them go. Like, I'm not gonna enjoy that. Because I'm gonna keep up with them. Or at least I'm gonna try. I got a lot going on. Okay, so Stray Kids. Okay, once again, another group that I did not pay attention to before this album. So I have a lot of, well, I want to say friends. So I'm a part of a collective group chat on Instagram. I'm a part of like three or four. And a lot of these other, the members of this group chat are Stray Kids fans. And so because of that, like, I wanted to give the new album a chance because I saw that it was coming out, and I was like, I might as well listen to it. I have to, like, I'm gonna review it on my podcast anyway. And can I, oh my goodness, I as soon as I heard Felix speak, as soon as something came out of his mouth, I became so obsessed. Like, Stray Kids is probably now one of my favorite groups. Like, it's gotta be TVXQ, Shiny, Only One Of, and Stray Kids at this point. Because they absolutely blew me away. And because of Go Live, I went and checked out all of their other songs. And there's not a lot of disappointment. There's like no disappointment there with them. And so, please accept me. Well, it's so hard for me to say that I'm gonna be a part of another fandom. Like, I am a Cassiopeia through and through. But they are making it so hard. These other groups are making it so difficult for me to say that I'm not a multi-stan. And I was even this is gonna like these new groups and these I'm old. I'm old. They shouldn't be attacking me like this. But Stray Kids, I love Stray Kids, and I love Twice. Ah, somebody help me. Okay, the other comeback that I was looking forward to was Momoland. And they came back with their Starry Night. And it's nothing special. They didn't even promote it. I was excited to see the girls again because I saw that Jewie had changed her hair. And Momoland was another one of those groups where I was like, they can't even sing that well, but their songs are super catchy, so does it even matter that they can't even sing that well at this point? And they're fun to watch. Another group that's fun to watch. And Jewie is, a lot of people say that she's ugly. That girl is gorgeous. And she does not deserve to be called ugly. IZ*ONE made their comeback with, what is this, like Song of a Swan? Sorry, I have it written down. One second. One second, one second, one second. Yeah, Secret Story of the Swan. Okay, Secret Story of the Swan. So, I'm usually like super pumped about IZ*ONE's comebacks because I love. I don't know if it's Taeyeon or Tae. Yeah, the sister of the girl that's in ITZY. I love those two because I've been watching them as well since K-pop Star. Legit, how awesome would it have been if they had debuted together in the same group? Anyway, since that didn't happen, she's in IZ*ONE, and I love IZ*ONE. Their songs are legit, but this comeback was like, and I saw that a lot of people actually liked it, but I'm not a huge fan. I can't get behind this one. The dance is cool, but this is just one of those songs that can't be redeemed by a dance. I'm sad to say. It is what it is. All right, 17. Now I was expecting a lot from their comeback as well. I usually like 17 songs usually like creep up on me and I end up really liking them, but Left and Right is, I feel like it's one of those songs that I have to listen to at least 10 times before I start liking it, 'cause it's not my thing. I know that it 17 is, they're one of the king groups of K-pop. I have no qualms about that. All right. And I appreciate a good boy group, but not a huge fan of the song, I gotta be honest with you. Golden Child made their comeback. I'm gonna be honest with you. I did not like have the chance to listen to this album as best as I could. But I love Golden Child. And I was watching them on Road to Kingdom and I was so sad that they ended up getting eliminated first. Like I wasn't expecting that, but I guess thanks to that, they were able to put out a new album. Honestly, after this, I'm probably gonna check it out some more in depth. But like I said, this month has been super hectic with my day job. And I have been trying my hardest to keep up, but just keep in mind, Golden Child is one of those groups that I actually like and will continue to follow until I can't anymore. Blackpink. Now, since day one of their comeback song, How You Like That, I've noticed that a lot of people have been giving them crap. And I'm not a Blink. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in other episodes, but I'm hypercritical of girl groups, and Blackpink is no exception. But they are one of the groups that I actually like a lot, and am not like super duper hypercritical, but I am super hypercritical. And when I first heard the song, it was super underwhelming, to be honest with you, because we as a K-pop community collective have been waiting for Blackpink to come back for over a year. It's been a long time. And when I first turned the song on, I was like, is this what we have been waiting for? Is this it? Is it it? Like, but after listening to the song a few times, I was able to get into it. Like, I was, it's, in my opinion, it's lacking in some ways, just like in the background. I feel like the background could use a little more oomph. I'm not a producer of music. I'm just like someone who appreciates it a lot, and maybe if I listen to it more, I can pick out those smaller details. I usually have the ability to, but yeah, the song was super underwhelming, and I saw that they were being scrutinized for the imagery in their music video. There was a statue of Ganesha at Lisa's feet, and I had a discussion with the other K-pop collectors over Instagram. I hope it's okay that I'm mentioning this, but there was a few people who saw that as also the market thing, where they were like, where Lisa was passing through the like Arabian style market. They saw that as both. They saw both of those pieces of imagery as cultural appropriation. And this is what I was thinking, and by no means do I want to take away from anybody feeling like their opinion isn't valid, or that their feelings as either Hindi or Arab aren't relevant. But just this is just the way that I was thinking, is that for both of those cultures are extremely beautiful. The market thing, I gotta be honest with you, I don't understand the cultural appropriation bit there. I get that it's maybe perhaps more so cultural appreciation, maybe. And going back to what we were talking about Black culture as a part of K-pop, the representation for Black America is not even there in music videos. But for Blackpink to put representation for Arab cultures into their music video while at the same time mimicking the style of music, I think shows a form of appreciation towards the actual culture. I don't know. Maybe I'm shooting too far trying to cover for them. I'm not really trying to cover for them. I'm just trying to think about maybe because it's not my own culture. I'm gonna say maybe I just don't understand the disrespect, I suppose. And I'm gonna be the first person to admit, like, if I don't understand, I don't understand. If you say that just because I'm not that culture, I'm not able to fully understand the implications of what Black people put in their video, then that's of course, okay. I understand. I feel like I come from a place that has experienced such things as well. I've never been told that I've honestly never been told that, like, my culture has been well represented in K-pop. I don't know. Maybe I'm grabbing too far, trying to grab too far, but I just looked at the music video again. Lisa, like, Ganesha is not at Lisa's feet. But going back to the conversation I was having on Instagram with other collectors, I was saying that Arab culture and Hinduism, is both of those things are super beautiful, and Hinduism is a religion that I personally appreciate, just because it was something that I studied while I was in college. And his or her response, I'm not sure of the gender of this person or how they identify, but Their response is that using religion as an aesthetic is extremely disrespectful. And I understand that, but at the same time, and I'm not trying to discredit that fact at all, at the same time, though, I don't feel like there would be the same type of fervor for Christianity or whatever. It's just because I've seen not just K-pop idols, but literally anybody in the music industry use Christianity as an aesthetic, and nobody says anything. But besides the point, I agree that using religion as an aesthetic is disrespectful, and that it should not be overlooked. And in this case, if I'm personally not like a huge fan of the song or the music video, so yeah. Another comeback was DPR. So the DPR Collective put out a album. It was like DPR Archives. So it was DPR Live, DPR Cream, DPR Ian, some other folks. But that was another album that I hadn't really had the chance to listen to. But I love DPR. I am a huge fan. And this is sort of ironic, but I'm a huge fan of Korean hip hop and rap. A lot of the Korean hip hop and rap community spoke out for Black Lives Matter, which I appreciate, and sort of helps me sleep better at night knowing that they're aware and willing to bring, I guess, recognition to the issues that are going on in the United States, and the injustices that not only Black people experience, but even just people of color, period, all over the world, with immigrants in the United States, as well as there were Asians being assaulted because of coronavirus misconceptions and well, not even miscommunications, just people being ignorant. But I love Korean hip hop, and as ironic as it may seem, those artists are the ones that I believe resonate the best and are aware of what's they're aware of where their sound comes from. And they outwardly, I guess, appreciate and understand or sort or try to speak out against the issues happening now. So, Ujusonyo was another group that came back this month that I was excited for. Not so much excited, rather, like once I found out that they were coming back, or once I found out that they did come back, I went to go look for their music video because I like their music. I like the songs that they put out because they're super catchy. This album is not an exception. One of the songs that I liked the most on this album was Pantomime, even though I'm not even sure what their title track was. I can't remember right now. Let's see. Ujusonyo. It must have been Butterfly. Yeah, Butterfly was not my favorite song. But Pantomime. Pantomime was a super refreshing. I love that song. And yeah, that's probably the only comebacks and debuts that I'm going to talk about today. Just because Sunmi hasn't come back yet. Did I say anything about this man puts out music on the regular. Some of his songs are super depressing, but I really like his voice. Even though, I mean, there's okay, so JYP Entertainment used to put out artists that sounded that when they sang, they sounded like they were talking. And I feel like this is one of those artists that JYP could have signed or would have. Like, he has that feel. He has a JYP feel to me. And that's one of the reasons why I like JYP so much. I'm an SM stan. But JYP is a close first. It's number two, of course, but it's a close first. For YG, like, I don't know, they just got too much going on all the time. I can't, like, my heart cannot handle it. Thank you for joining me on today's super long special episode with my first guest. It's been fun, but this does have to be the season finale, and it is sad. I wish that I could continue for the rest of the year, just come out with episodes every week. I know for a while I was coming out with episodes like once every 2 weeks, and that had been because the pandemic had hindered my ability to work at my office on the regular basis. But at the same time, I'm thankful because I got to do this regularly. So for the past 6 months or 5 months, since January, I've been putting out episodes of NYKP. That's what we'll call it for now. Honestly, it should have taken me 5 months if I was publishing the way I was supposed to. But since January, yeah. I've been putting out episodes, and the reason why I cannot continue, and this will be a huge announcement for those of you who are my family, but my family and I are moving away to another country. We are going to go and live in Japan. So it's going to be closer to where I want to be. So it's going to be super exciting, but at the same time, I will probably not be able to work on episodes until late October, early November. So, but on that note, if I have the chance to record, I will be saving those episodes for next season so that, you know, without thought, I can sort of publish again. And I mean, I do want to continue this whole thing with like reviewing music and stuff, and I probably will continue to keep up with it. I'm not sure how the future episodes will look, but it's been fun. And also, just a little backstory for NYKP. I started this podcast initially because I don't have a lot of people around me with the common interest of K-pop in my life. So I created this podcast as an outlet and a means to share my opinions on what's happening. And also, I also created this podcast as a means for me to have an excuse to keep up with the K-pop community, because, you know, at one point I was slacking. So I'm thankful that this podcast has helped me retain my knowledge of not only K-pop but Korean, the language, and to see what's been going on with idols that I used to keep up with as well. I have, so this year at the end of August will mark 13, I think. Okay, 2008. So 12 years. At the end of August, I think it'll be 12 years. And I couldn't have asked for a better way to let my stress go, as well as the opportunity to talk to someone, because I don't really have anyone around. And thanks to this podcast, I also went out and I looked for people on the internet. And to my surprise, I mean, K-pop fans weren't so nice 12 years ago, but to my surprise, I was able to find a group of people who are kind to one another, and regardless of age, race, gender, genuinely appreciate the camaraderie that comes along with this community. I know I sound sort of cheesy, but I'm super glad that I was able to find it. Now, just because I have found like a group of people to talk to doesn't necessarily mean that I'll stop this. Mostly because I don't have anyone to speak to out loud to besides this, right? I've got my pals on Instagram, and I've got my like-minded friends on Facebook, but once I meet someone in real life, you better believe they will be on this podcast. They will be helping me decipher some of the crazy things going on in the K-pop community. They will help me have good discussions, and also I wanted to explain why I called I want to explain why I call myself Hannah, and I want to explain why I call this podcast Not Your K Podcast. And even now I'm thinking that I should rename it, but the reason I call this podcast Not Your K Podcast is because I wanted it to be a place that I was safe in to express my opinions, and maybe even find like-minded people along the way. I do notice sometimes that I do go back and I listen to episodes, and I notice that I do say some things incorrectly, and at some point when I develop more of a listenership, I hope that you all who are listening are able to correct me freely, because in the end it sort of is becoming your K podcast. But I like the idea of being able to share my thoughts with other people, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be like-minded. Like, I just enjoy the idea of talking about something that I've been passionate about for so long. So, also, okay, yeah, the Hina thing. So I call myself Hina because that is the Korean translation of my Chinese name, and my Chinese name was given to me by my Chinese professor in college. I told her that I wanted to be prettier and smarter, so my Chinese name is Kong Hui Na. Kong was the last name of the Chinese philosopher Kongzi, and so yeah. Hina is my alias because it is the Korean translation of my Chinese name. And yeah, I know nobody asked, but I've been wanting to say that for a while. Once again, thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your K Podcast. I am your host, Hannah. Today's song of the day is Airplane by Stray Kids. And once again, I just want to thank you for tuning in either from the very beginning or even just now for taking this journey with me of self-learning and adventure. And make sure you follow me on Instagram at Not Your K Podcast, Facebook, Not Your K Podcast, all one word. And Twitter at Not Your K Podcast. And I'll see you when I see you. Bye.